بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين بعد. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, we find that in various places in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned various incidents, various stories from the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, the lives of the prophets of the past. And at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dedicated an entire surah, an entire chapter, to make mention of some incident or the life of a certain Nabi. That is why we find Surah Ibrahim, Surah Yunus, Surah Hud, Surah Nuh, and other surahs as well. Now the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention these stories in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us himself. Allah ta'ala says, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فَوَدَكَ. O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the stories of the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa sallam which we relate to you, the purpose of this is, مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فَوَدَكَ. It is to strengthen your heart. It is to give you some motivation, to encourage you. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Certainly in the stories of these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they are great lessons for those people who are wise enough to take lesson. Now my dear brothers, amongst these surahs, one particular surah is Surah Yusuf, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has termed as أحسن القصص. نَحْنُ نَقُصُ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. The best of stories. In this world, if a person has to read a novel, be it an award-winning novel, written by some award-winning author, a person reads it once, he reads it twice, and by the third time he's fed up, he's sick of it. But ask any person who's acquainted with the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, or that person who knows the Arabic language, each time the person reads the surah, it keeps him riveted, it fascinates him, it enchants him. This is because these are not the words of any mortal being, but the words of Rabbul Alameen, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions in the surah, لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. There's certainly in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in what transpired between Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his brothers, there are great lessons for those people who want to know. For those people who want to know, there are great lessons in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And today, my dear brothers, I'd like to take this time to discuss some of the very pertinent, valuable, and practical lessons that we can take from the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is quite popular, quite famous. We haven't got the time to go into the details of the story. Those of us who are not too familiar with the story, I suggest that you get hold of some reliable work, or you go to some credible alim and ask him to relate the story to you. But what are the lessons that we can take from the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? So the first story, the first lesson we can take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, it qala, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba wa shamsa wal qamara ra'aytuhum li sajidin. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is a young boy of tender age. He had seen a very strange dream. He had seen a very ajeeb dream. In his dream, he had seen 11 stars, and he had seen the moon and the sun. All of these things were prostrating before Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is a young inquiring boy. He comes to his father, that great Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, and he relates this dream to his father. His father, being the great Nabi that he was, immediately understood that, oh my son, it seems as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has great things in store for you. It seems as though you are going to continue the legacy of prophethood that has been running for 3 generations in our family. It seems as though you are set to become a 4th generation Nabi in the family. But oh my son, one favor. لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا. Do not disclose this dream. Do not divulge this dream. Keep it private. Do not make it public. Because I fear if your brothers have to find out about this dream, they will want to harm you. Now my dear brothers, the lesson for us to take from this is that alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with many bounties, many favors, many boons. It is in our best interest that as far as possible, we keep this private and do not make it public. We keep it private and do not make a public display of it. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, today, with the advent of social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and the rest of it, every joy a person experiences in his life, be it the new home, or the new car, or the newly married couple, or the newly born child, all of these favors he enjoys from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person takes a picture of it, and he puts it up on Instagram, and he writes a detailed account of it on his Facebook page, on his Twitter account, and thereby putting it into the public domain. My dear brothers, I am not trying to say that we should become paranoid and think that everyone is out there to get us. But the sad reality of the world that we live in, that there are very few people out there who are happy to see others prosper. There are very few people out there who are happy to see others in prosperity. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the Riwayat Bukhari Sharif, Al-aynu haqqun, the eye, the ill effect of the eye, the adverse effect of the eye, what we commonly refer to as nazar. Allah's Nabi said, this is a reality. It is a reality. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for his two grandsons, Hassan and Hussein, the princes of Jannah. أُعِيذُكُمَا بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّةِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّةِ. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect these two grandsons of mine. I ask you to protect them from every devil and from every harmful creature, وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّةِ, and from every evil eye. And today a person, what does he do? Every joy he experiences in his life, he posts the picture of it on these social media platforms and thereby exposing himself to danger. Somebody recently shared with me a website page wherein detailed instructions are given, step-by-step instructions are given that are how to do witchcraft on a person merely by taking a photo of the person, merely by having a photo of the person. And my dear brothers, in our country, because of the criminal element of crime that we have, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with wealth, Allah has blessed them with wealth, we should not be making unnecessary expressions, public display of wealth. Allah's Nabi taught us, al-aynu haqqun, that this is a reality. So when things go sour in our life, and things become pear-shaped, then we have none other to blame but ourselves. The advice of Yaqub alayhi salam to his son, oh my son, keep it private, and do not make it public. So that's the first lesson we can take from the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The second lesson we can take is, قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ أَخُوهُ حَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَى إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was one of 12 brothers. He and his brother Binyamin were the two younger brothers, and they had 10 elder brothers. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had a soft spot for these two younger sons of his, especially Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And now the bigger sons, the elder sons, could not make sense of this. That we are the grown-ups, we are the ones who are strong. If our father needs any help, then we will be the ones to help our father. But how is it that he has love, he has a soft spot for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? So this led to the brothers becoming jealous of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And when they became jealous, then they resorted to drastic measures to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They snatched him away from his father. And at one point, they were even contemplating murdering Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So the lesson for us, my dear brothers, to take from this, is that this spiritual malady, this killer disease, this disease of hasad, of jealousy, this is such a sickness, such a disease that will eat the person up from inside. A person will never ever be content. He will never ever be happy until he does not see his mahsood, the person who he is jealous of, until he does not see him fall, this person will never ever be happy. To have hasad, to be jealous, is not to be content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as though you are saying, Allah, you have given that man wealth. You have given that man fame. You have given that man intelligence. Oh Allah, and you have not given me, and I am not happy about it. And like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when they became jealous, they resorted to drastic measures. Likewise, a person who has hasad in him, then he will resort to drastic measures. He does not care what is the consequences, but I must see that man fall. I must see him fall. So to get him to go to a sangoma, or to go to a witch doctor, or to practice jadu, or to plan a hit on the person, he doesn't care, but I must see that man fall. May Allah save us from this killer disease, the spiritual malady of hasad. The ulama of tasawwuf, may Allah give them jazaya khair. They have mentioned two remedies. That person who has hasad, who has jealousy, he should be doing two things. Firstly, he should praise the person who he is jealous of in front of others. Speak good of him. MashaAllah, this person is very intelligent. He's very good looking. Allah has blessed him with a lot of wealth. Sort of getting it off your chest. A person will do this as time goes on. Inshallah, Allah will remove that hasad from his heart. And secondly, a person should make dua for the person who is jealous of. Oh Allah, you have given him a lot. Oh Allah, give him more. You have given him a lot. Oh Allah, give him more. The hadith sharif of Muslim sharif, the hadith of Muslim sharif says, "Ma min abdin muslim yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb illa qala al-malak amin wa laka mithlin." O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever a person makes dua for his Muslim brother in the absence of his fellow brother, then Allah appoints an angel to say ameen to the dua of that person, and may you, walaka bi mithlin, and may you have some of the same. May you have some of the same. Oh Allah, his business is thriving. Allah, give him more. The angel says, ameen, and may you also have more. But unfortunately, my dear brothers, today, what is the situation? We see our competitor's business is thriving. Allah, he's eating up my business. Oh Allah, close him down. Close him down. Let it not be, my dear brothers, the angel is saying, walaka bi mithlin. No, rather may you be closed down. So my dear brothers, Allah save us from this killer disease of hasad. Then let's move on to the next lesson. That when the initial attempts of the wife of the minister to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had failed, and now the woman of the kingdom began to talk, that this woman, she is royalty, she is blue blood, she is the cream of society, and she is trying to seduce some lad, some boy working in a house. So to shut up this woman, the wife of the minister invited the woman of the kingdom for a banquet. And when all of them were there, they all had gathered. Then she summons and she beckons for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam comes before this woman, then they realize exactly why this woman had fallen head over heels in love with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. To put it in short, he was a hunk of a man. He was a hunk of a man. And the woman then makes it clear that yes, I had seduced him in the past. And you can see why. And he had initially refused me. But now I'm making clear that if he will not give in to me now, he will not give in to my advances now, then I will see to it that he is thrown into prison or that he faces some other sort of punishment. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at that juncture, caught between a rock and a hard place. On one hand, he is being seduced and tempted by this woman. On the other hand, he is being threatened that if he does not give in to her, then he will be thrown into prison. At that time, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam turns his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ وَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ بِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيَّ وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Oh Allah, they have threatened to throw me in the prison. Oh Allah, the prison is more beloved to me than giving in to the ghastly act of zina. The prison is more beloved to me than giving in to the temptation and the invitation of this woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah had saved him from that situation and he had gone to prison. Now there are two lessons that we can take from here, my dear brothers. The first lesson is, in our lives, we will face situations where we will be invited towards evil, we'll be invited towards haram, we'll be invited towards sin. As much as this woman was adamant to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was even more adamant not to give in to the invitation of this woman. And my dear brothers, when we are faced with that situation, that lucrative deal is there, haram-based deal, all a person has to do is put pen to paper and he will rake in millions. He will rake in millions. Or a person is walking down the street and a beautiful woman is passing by and his nafs will tell him, look once, just once. What will it cost you to look even once? At that time, my dear brothers, like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, turned his attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he fought with himself. He did not give in to those temptations. Likewise, my dear brothers, at that time, at that juncture, your sheikh is not going to help you. Any special dhikr is not going to help you. Any wazifa is not going to help you. Rather, a person has to turn his attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has to have himmat. He has to have courage. That whatever happens, I am not going to give in to this temptation. So there is one lesson we can take from the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Another lesson we can take from this incident, that ulama mentioned, be very, very careful what dua you make. Be very, very careful what dua you make. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the prison, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the prison. If he had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him without putting him into prison, Allah could have saved him from the situation without putting him into prison. Many years ago when we were in madrasa, and at that time many of us were now late teens, some of us in our early 20s, and on one hand we're trying to concentrate on our studies. And on the other hand, we are that age now where naturally a person has urges, desires to get married. At that time, our ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Imutala Sahib, Hafizahullah, he had advised us. He advised that and said, do not ever make this dua. Do not ever make this dua. O Allah, take my passions away. O Allah, take my desires away. Because when a person does eventually get married, at that time when he's with his wife, he requires passion, he requires desire. Rather make this dua, O Allah, give me control over my passion. O Allah, give me control over my desires. Ulama mentioned that that person who is not going through any difficulty in his life, he's not going through any difficulty in his life, then he should not make the dua, O Allah, give me sabr ala al-bala, O Allah, give me sabr. Because effectively you are saying, O Allah, put me into some difficulty so that I may exercise sabr. Rather make the dua, Allah, you give me ease, comfort, continue to give me ease and comfort. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, today, many of us, especially our own folk, we have the habit of just blurting things out. The child is disrespectful at home, then the mother says, when you grow up, you will also have disrespectful children. And then you will know what it is, what it feels like to have disobedient children. At that time, we should keep our mouths closed. Keep our mouths closed. Or rather, make a good dua. O my son, O my child, you are not being obedient. May Allah make you obedient and also give you children who will also be obedient. So there's another lesson we can take from the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, my dear brothers, another lesson we can take is that when the king of Egypt, he had seen a dream. In his dream, he had seen 7 fat cows. And these 7 fat cows were being devoured, were being eaten by 7 thin cows. And he also saw 7 fresh ears of grain and 7 dried out ears of grain. So they come to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They come to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and ask him for the interpretation of this dream. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam interprets this dream to mean that in a few years' time, a very severe drought will befall the people of Egypt. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, not only did he give them the interpretation to the dream, but he also gave them a contingency plan. A plan of action. That from now until those difficult years arrive, whatever grain you have, whatever surplus grain you have, or commodities you have, store it away. Store it away. So that when those difficult years do come, you have a stockpile, you have a surplus, and this will now see you through those difficult years. It will see you through those difficult years. The lesson from here, my dear brothers, we are all fully aware of the economic downturn, not only in this country, but around the world. Things are tough, my dear brothers, things are tough. Inflation is on the rise. The cost of living has gone through the ceiling. Even people who are regarded as wealthy, even they have been forced to cut down on certain luxuries which they were normally accustomed to. We have to be very, very careful with our wealth, how we spend our wealth. We have to now make out our needs from our wants, our needs from our wants. Every youngster sitting here, or every youngster out there, he would want to have the latest iPhone, but does he really need it? Every grown-up person would love to drive a Mercedes-Benz, but does he really need it? Can his pocket afford it? It is not against the tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not against reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person guards his wealth. He saves up his wealth for a rainy day. Yusuf alayhi salam told the people, save the extra, the surplus wheat that you have for the difficult years that will come. And when those difficult years did come, the drought did not only befall the people of Egypt, but people of surrounding areas were also afflicted by this drought. They were also afflicted by this drought. Now the people of Egypt had this huge stockpile of wheat and grain and other commodities. And the people from the surrounding areas will come to Egypt and they will buy this stock from the people of Egypt. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is now in charge of this huge stockpile of grain and other commodities. Now my dear brothers, put a businessman, like the many ruthless businessmen we have of today, put him in that position that now you have full control of the market. The monopoly is in your hands. You are at the top of the food chain. How ruthless a businessman will become. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in that position, how kind he was, how tolerant he was, how understanding he was, how lenient he was. My dear brothers, many of us are businessmen, or we are in some other profession. If only we could become a bit softer, a bit lenient in the way we deal with people, in the way we deal with people. An example of this, a person, mashallah, has a booming business. In the morning, he wakes up and goes to his shop. He opens his shop in the morning. And mashallah, throughout the day, the trills are ringing. He's making large amounts of money. And then at the end of the day, just before he closes his shop, a poor domestic worker enters his shop. And he can see this woman is battling. And it's the middle of winter, it's freezing cold outside. And she comes and she wants to buy a blanket from you. And you tell her that my price of my blanket is 200 rand. If you have that much, I'll sell it to you. If you don't have that much, then go to some other place and buy some other inferior quality product. And one is a person becomes soft. He becomes understanding. This woman is suffering. It is cold outside. I probably earn in a few days more than she will earn the entire year. I probably earn in a few days more than she will earn the entire year. At that time, my dear brothers, what will it cost us to give it to her for free? Or accept whatever she has taken from, whatever she has taken, accept that from her. Or give it to her for free. You might not make that amount of profit which you expected to make. You might not make the amount of profit which you expected to make. But the amount, but the joy you will put in the heart of that woman, and the du'as that you will get from the heart of that woman, and the amount of barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, this will far outweigh any amount of profit that you can make. So this can be understood from this incident of the life of Musa, of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then, my dear brothers, the last lesson that we can take from the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout his life, he had gone through many, many difficulties, many, many tribulations, many, many trials. As a young boy, he was victimized in the home of his father. And then he was cruelly snatched away from the tender, loving care of his father. And then he was taken and thrown into a deep, dark and depressing well. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how long he spent in that well. And then just when he thought he had been rescued, only to realize that he has been taken by a group of cruel businessmen as a slave. And now he is taken even further away from his father. And then he is sold into some strange house in Egypt. And in that house, on two occasions, he is seduced by the woman of that house. And then he is taken and thrown into prison for no crime that he had committed. Tribulation upon tribulation, difficulty upon difficulty, hardship upon hardship. And alhamdulillah, the story has its happy ending. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is finally reunited with his father. But my dear, but the lesson for us to take from this, that throughout these difficulties, these hardships and his trials that Yusuf alayhi salam went through, this could have so easily led to him becoming depressed. It could have so easily led to him becoming suicidal. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did not go into a state of depression. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did not become suicidal. And what was the secret? Why did he not become depressed or suicidal? This is because he remained true to Allah, so Allah was true to him. He did good to Allah, so Allah was good to him. He pleased Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased him. What did Allah say about him in the house of the minister? وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And when he reached a certain age, we bestowed him with nubuwat. We made him a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way do we recompense people like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who are muhsin, people who do good. In the prison, what did Allah say about him? نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The two inmates of the prison came to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and told him, give us the interpretation of our dream. It seems to us that you are a person who does a lot of good. Then on the throne of Egypt, what is the words of the people? فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَا إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The very same words that they told him while he was in prison, that you seem to be a person who does a lot of good. He did good to Allah, so Allah was good to him. He pleased Allah, so Allah continued to please him. He was muhsin, so Allah showered him with his ihsan. My dear brothers, today we find that the cases of depression, I'm not talking about a person feeling a bit down now and then, feeling a bit under the weather now and then. That is natural, that is human nature to feel a bit sad now and then. I'm talking about the chronic depression, that takes its toll on a person's physical health. It takes its toll on the person's mental state. The number of cases are shocking, my dear brothers. And likewise, especially amongst the youngsters, the becoming suicidal, suicide and becoming suicidal, the number of cases is alarming, my dear brothers. We must understand, my dear brothers, that your difficulty can never be more than the difficulties of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But he did not become depressed, so why are you becoming depressed? He did not become suicidal, so why are you becoming suicidal? You must understand, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, life will have its ups and downs. Life will have its ups and downs. Every now and then life will throw at you that odd curveball. Allah has never guaranteed any person walking on the face of this earth that everything will be smooth sailing. Everything will be hunky-dory. Rather, on the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِ. Allah says, قَسَّمَ, I will test you. I will try you. I will put you through difficulties. But when a first person faces those difficulties, even on your darkest day, remember, at the end of that long, dark tunnel, there is Allah. There is Allah. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. The light of Allah is there to illuminate your way, to brighten up your day. It is not becoming of a Muslim to lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same surah Yusuf tells us, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he advised his sons, O my sons, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. It is the way of the kuffar to lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you face any difficulty, any hardship, like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, continue to be muhsin, continue to do good, continue to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will continue to be good to you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to please you. Some people, unfortunately, when they go through some difficulty or hardship, they turn their back away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few Ramadans ago, I met one person, a person I know, and he told me, today I'm not fasting. In the month of Ramadan, today I'm not fasting. Asked him what happened. He told me, last night I went to visit some relative of mine on the beachfront, and my car got stolen, so today I was feeling very depressed, very down, so I was unable to fast. So I explained to him whatever needs to be explained. But my dear brothers, when we will adopt this kind of attitude, when we face some difficulty, and we turn our back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will only go deeper and deeper and deeper into that depression. Rather, my dear brothers, focus on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue to do good. Continue to be muhsin. Inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsinin. Allah's mercy is with those people who do good. Unfortunately, some people, what happens when they experience some difficulty, then they begin to stay away from the masjid. They stay away from the masjid. Entire day and night in the bed. Too depressed, too sad, can't do anything. Rather, your place should be in the house of Allah. In the tranquility of the house of Allah, you should come to the house of Allah and cling to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, my dear brothers, you will never find the cure to your depression. You will never find the cure to you being suicidal in any medication or by any psychologist. The cure to your depression and you being suicidal is to continue to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the ability to implement these few teachings from the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam into our lives. Allah says about the Anbiya, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. Anbiya, those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided, so follow the ways of guidance of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah give us the tawfiq and ability to inculcate in our lives the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and especially that of our master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah give us tawfiq.